Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to Driven to Business. Going to do a little different show today. We're going to talk about business being slow. I know that's not a topic that's of great it is a topic of great concern. It's not a topic that many of us like to talk about, but if you've been in business any time at all or in your career, you have run across slow business. Back when I first started our business and we would have a good month, I would be so happy and just ecstatic about it, and I would sort of over-celebrate, I think. And then when we had a bad month, I was so upset. I'd be down the dumps, just inconsolable. And I had to sort of have a talk with myself and learn to straighten that out and sort of level out my emotions, because otherwise it was not working very good for me in that area. Every business slows down. Every business slows down at times. And I think the thing that you need to figure out when your business is slow is this just a blurb? Is it seasonal? Is it a blurb? Or is the slowness an indicator of a systemic trend that you need to perhaps deal with? On today's program, I hope to give you a few hints to help you out, both to encourage you and to perhaps give you a little bit of advice in that area. You should also know that when business is slow, oftentimes it forces us to do things that really we should have been doing when the business was good. For an example, if your accounting is a mess, this may be a good time to straighten that out. If you have allowed costs in the company, and this has happened to me in the past, if you've allowed expenses and so forth to creep up on you, and when things were good, it didn't matter all that much, but all of a sudden when they're slow, it matters a great deal. Well, the fact is you shouldn't have allowed them to creep up while you were busy either. You just didn't deal with it. But now you've got a little pain going on, and that pain, just like having a pain in our bodies can tell us something is wrong, the pain you're having in your business can actually have a positive result. It can actually get you to fix something that is systemically wrong with your business. You may have inefficiencies in there. You may be selling some products that just are not profitable. Perhaps you need, we're going to talk about business model in just a moment. And if so, you need to take a look at that. Do you have customers that are not profitable? You know, we went through this about 3 years after founding the company. I had a major customer, and this customer was our biggest customer. And what I began to do, other business besides this customer began to sort of fall off. And we began to look very hard at what we were actually doing with this customer. And what I found, to my surprise and dismay, is that although we were doing a lot of business with this customer, we were not making any money off the business we were doing, because we were discounting so heavily. And also, they took so much customer service time, so much hand-holding, so much sales time, and so much administration time to deal with, that they just ended up costing us more than we were making off of them. Now, we didn't walk in and just fire them. I didn't tell them to get lost or anything like that. What we did was just begin to de-emphasize them a bit. And we began to say that we have got to have other types of customers. And it doesn't mean the customer was a bad person or anything else. It just means the kind of business they were in and the kind of business we were in did not match very well. So there may be, what you may find is there's an inefficiency, and perhaps you're serving a customer base that you cannot be profitable serving. That may be none of your case. It may just be that you're a business that is seasonal, and it's the season when your business slows down. It used to be in our business many years ago in the electronic motor drive business, it used to be that summer was our busiest time. We just got snowed under in the summer, and in the winter it slowed down. And that was because back then the power systems in the summertime, you got a lot of power line disturbances. Those disturbances harmed the electronics. Electronics were not built well to do it. You didn't use a lot of switching power supplies and so forth today that sort of isolate the equipment, the microprocessors and so forth, off of the power line. And as a result of that, we ended up with some failures. A lot of failures when it was hot. In fact, even when I was working in Houston, we would sort of joke, if we would see a thunderstorm on one side of town, remember it's very flat out there, you can see where storms are, we knew which major customers were in that area, and we would say, hey, we're going to be hearing from XYZ customer, and we often did, because we knew where a storm was, and the storm was going to knock their equipment out. And that was great service business, bad for them, good for us in the service business. But those things have changed. So it may just be that as your business slows down, those are times perhaps to look at what you're doing in the business and perhaps take that time to straighten a few things out. You can also look hard at your business model. This is a little hard to explain on the radio, but one of the things that we have done is we'll sometimes do a customer and a product service matrix. And what we'll do, if you can just take a piece of paper, think of a piece of paper, and on one side of the piece of paper, you write down, make a list of the types of customers you serve. In our business, that would be perhaps industrial plants, oil and gas, municipal facilities, commercial facilities such as large buildings and so forth, HVAC type things, and so on and so forth. And you write that down. And across the top, you put out the services that you and products that you sell. In our case, it might be low voltage VFDs, medium voltage VFDs, field service, shop service, training, power quality, the other services that we do across the top, and then just go through and make check marks and sort of make a matrix of what you do for each customer. What you may find if you do that, and we found it out, is that you may find out you have a customer down there that you're only providing one service for. And that may be your, let's just say, for instance, that's your least profitable service. And yet you're spending a lot of time chasing that type of customer. Well, perhaps that leads you to rethink that perhaps in order to be more profitable and to speed business up a bit, you perhaps need to pull that back. At our company, the business model that I started EMA with, which was we were going around being a warranty service center for a lot of electronic motor drive manufacturers, and we didn't sell any equipment, and all of our business was referrals from those manufacturers, service business from those manufacturers. And for a few years, that was really a good deal. And we traveled all over the country, in some cases all over the world, doing business like that. It was a very profitable business. It worked real well. But you know what? Times changed. That is no longer a business. I wouldn't invest a nickel in anybody trying to start a business in the field I was in, that I'm in, with a business model like that, because things have changed. Keep an idea. To give you an idea, and many of you are not familiar with the electronic motor drive business, so let me just put a business that most of you are at least familiar with in some sense, a computer business. You know, there was a time when there were trucks running all over Atlanta here repairing PCs. They would come to your place of business and repair your PC. Now, there are still people that do that. There are still people that do that, but nowhere near on the scale that they were once doing. And why is that? It's because as the price and the cost of personal computers has gone down, the amount of money you're going to spend repairing one has gone down as well. But you know what? The cost of having an employee in a truck out there repairing that has not gone down at all. So that model of business is very squeezed to make a profit. If you're having to pay people more and more and more to go repair something because you can charge less and less and less for repairing, well, at some point, somewhere, those lines cross. And that stops being a profitable business. And for many people in the computer repair business, that is what happened. Well, in our business, we used to repair a lot of industrial circuit boards. We still do some of that, but we did a lot of that at one time. But as equipment became less and less expensive, and frankly, more and more complex with surface mount technologies and things like that, the cost to repair, the time to repair went up. Our cost for employees and benefits and taxes and all this have not gone down. They've gone up. And as a result, we've had to decide that's not a business that we chase. We still do some of it, but we don't chase it. And you may find something like that in your business. So spend a little hard time looking at your computer model. You know what? You may have to hire an outside person to help you with that. And the reason I say that is so many of us become very emotionally tied to our business model. We've had on the program here before Sandra Young, who at that time was a vice president with SunTrust Bank, and I got her to reiterate a story that she had told me, or a situation that she had warned me about some years earlier when her and I were serving on a committee together. And what she said was that people like me, referring to me as an entrepreneur, she said, the problem with you guys is you will not turn loose of a dream. Once, even though it becomes apparent that dream is going down the toilet, you guys keep hanging on to it. And you end up spending all the money you've made in the past on trying to keep a dead dream alive. Now, I'm not encouraging anyone to get out of their business. What I am encouraging you to do is to look hard at your business model. Be sure that it's still a profitable business model. Think about this for a moment. IBM did not start off as a computer company. They started off building typewriters. Well, they don't build typewriters anymore. Almost no one does. And why is that? Because you couldn't sell them to anyone. So they changed their business model. I went to school using a slide rule. My kids don't even know what a slide rule is. I always tell people we went to the moon using slide rules. But try to have a company these days to make slide rules. And I don't care how well you make a slide rule. You may make the nicest ones in the world and use the best materials in that slide rule and have the prettiest lettering on there and have it where it just works like a charm and machine to a hill where it works great. You're not going to sell many slide rules. So that's just not a business. So sometime we have to look at our business models and just say, okay, that business model doesn't work anymore. For a lot of us as entrepreneurs, and I can tell you this from personal experience, we have a hard time turning loose with that because the tendency to do that is want to hang on to what we know and what we got going. Think for a moment about a business model. My favorite example of that is think for a moment. If you fly recently, all the seats on an airplane are usually full, aren't they? And yet airlines will tell you they're losing money if they don't have some other sources of income. And so that always makes me question, well, you got a bad business model. If your seats are all full and you're losing money, well, then, I mean, something's wrong there. In our case, we do a lot of field service. Let's suppose, for instance, that I had my field service guys booked completely full, and yet we're losing money on that segment of business. Well, then it tells us something's wrong. Our pricing structures are not correct, or our cost structures are not correct, but something's not right. You can't keep a business model going like that. And it behooves us as a leader in our companies, whether we're employees there or whether we work there, it behooves us to take a hard look at those kinds of things. A lot more to come. We're going to talk more, and I've got more helpful hints, I hope, for you on what to do, and I'll promise I'll be a little more encouraging as we move along here. By the way, we're streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program is podcast on eddiemayfield.com and iTunes and other places. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business. Today we're talking about what do you do if your business is slow? Well, the first thing to do is let's don't panic. Every business slows down. I've already told you in the first segment that I used to panic a lot about things like that. I hope I've matured past that. So let me give you some helpful hints if your business is slow. Here's a real easy one. A way to get your business going again is to follow up on past customers. Now, I'd already said in the first segment, this is assuming that your business model is correct. You've got a good base business model. You don't have to change that. Business has just gone slow on you. Follow up on past customers. Some years ago, we bought another business. And we bought the business, in a bit of a distressed state. Their revenues were falling. In fact, they were on the verge of declaring bankruptcy at the time that we bought them. We go in there, and we found several things wrong in the organization where, you know, some inefficiencies in there that we took care of, and it was a little hard to get all that done, but we took care of it. But the next question is, where do we go get business? Well, this particular customer had been in business, a particular business, I should say, had been in business a long time, and they actually had a great customer list that no one had called on in years. And so all I did was take that list, and I assigned two salespeople, split it in half, and gave it to two salespeople and just said, okay, chase all these customers down, these past customers down. Tell them that we're still here, that we appreciate their business, and that we want them, you know, if they haven't done business in a long time, we'd like to know why they're not doing business with us, find out what they've got going on, see if there's anything we can do for them. Just that one act alone, we tripled their annual billings in 1 year just from doing that. We did really nothing else marketing of significance except that. It's very powerful to contact your past customers. That's going to be the more efficient And in this case, since they had not done it at all, it was really a gold mine to go back in there because they really did have a good reputation. It's just, you know, a lot of service type businesses, and this is maybe a bit insulting to all of us, but, you know, I've always heard the term the last one in. You know, if they're going to know who to, if you have an auto repair shop or you have a computer software type business, or you know, you're a network analyst or something like that, working, calling on business to business type things, and you call on somebody and they think about you, but they don't need you right now. Well, what happens is a month later your competitor walks in the door, and when your competitor walks in the door, they do need it. Well, they're probably going with him. It's called the last one in. The one way to get around that is to absolutely be sure you're calling on these customers all the time. And if you can't call in this day and age, calling doesn't always even mean a phone call. It can mean sending them an email or a text or whatever works in your business. But stay in touch with those people. The other thing, let me add here, it's very, very important in a business. And if you're not doing this, then you need to start doing it. Keep lists of your prospects and customers and be aggressive about that. Keep those lists. Those lists will become one of the most important things in your company. The longer you're in business, the more important that list will become because it's something you can market to. Be aggressive about that. Let me tell you something else to do is don't fight the tendency to become despondent. And I know this is easier said than done, but emotions play a huge role in how we work. And it's very easy to get depressed. How do you get out of depression? I always say, assuming you're not clinically depressed and you don't really need to go see a practitioner of some sort, you can work your way out of it. You don't feel like following up on old customers. Well, here's a hint. Do it anyway. And what will happen is if you force yourself to do it, you will start feeling better about it. I walk up Stone Mountain every morning, and I, you know, when I climb out of the bed to do that, and it's still dark outside, I have to literally tell my feet, I'm not exaggerating about this, I tell my feet to get on the floor. Once my feet are on the floor and I'm kind of stumbling toward the closet to, you know, to put on the clothes I'm going to wear to climb with, every step I take and every nearer I'm getting to the door, I'm doing better. And finally, when I'm coming up Stone Mountain, and once I get there, I feel great about it. But the hardest part about it was climbing out of bed. Now, anything in business, those of you in business that have been in any kind of sales, you know how this works. You know, when you go to pick up a phone and make a sales call, it's like that phone weighs 100 pounds. You just have to force it up to your ear. But it gets easier every time you do it. And a lot of you know this. So contact those old customers. Don't get despondent about it. There are people, and I've seen this with my own friends, when their business gets slow, they get so despondent about it, they actually stop working. And they actually pull back. And that is a spiral downwards. It gets much, much, much worse. As I mentioned to you earlier, take a hard look, and I mean a real hard look, at your services and products. And how viable are they today in today's marketplace? I mentioned a while ago about a slide rule. If you're selling slide rules, I doubt any of you are actually selling slide rules, but if you're selling a product that is obsolete or is going obsolete, then do something else. Take the expertise you've got and the customer list. What else can you sell to your customer base that is profitable and move there? That's actually a fairly easy transition. Again, the example of IBM was selling typewriters, and they began selling computers. Well, the same people, businesses that were buying those typewriters began buying computers. So you can actually get that done. The other thing is, has a number of people in your industry or market that you're in, has that really boomed and increased? Has the competition increased along with it? You know, what may at one time have been a little niche that you had, now there's everybody in it. Do you run into things like that? We have done things like that for ourselves. I really do like niche markets. I'm in the electronic variable frequency drive business. Believe me, that's a niche market. When I go to a party or something and talk about what I do, no one has a clue, even after I tell them. But it's a great business, but there is competition in it, and we have to do a good job at finding those people. So is there a little niche in your market? Is there something that you can serve people with? Let me give another little example from our business that happened to us. It was a big deal. We call it our fast track story. Some years ago, we were trying to figure out, our business at that time was primarily depot, you might say, or shop repairs of electronic motor drives. And we were having, and it was beginning to be a very competitive business, and we were having a meeting one time. What can we do? And we ask what's called the paradigm question of ourselves. And the paradigm question is this. What's impossible to do today that would significantly impact our business and market if it could be done? Well, we came up with a number of things, and those were impossible. But then we began to ask a follow-up question. You can do this too. What part of that question, what part of that business is impossible? What part of that thing we need to do is impossible? Is there a part that's not impossible? And what we came up with was the idea that if we could turn equipment around in 48 hours, we would literally own the market nationally. Now, that's impossible because of the unavailability of parts, unavailability of a documentation, things of that sort. That wasn't possible. But here's what we did come up with. As the more we brainstormed about that, we came up, there was some equipment that was possible to turn around in 48 hours. And again, I'm not telling you to tell you this about the drive business. You can apply this to your business. And it turned out in our case, and this I think this is probably going to turn out in your case too, that it turned out the business that we could turn around in 48 hours was our most profitable business. And it was the business we wanted the most. So we came up with the idea of a fast track, the fastest drive repair in the country for this specific little list of equipment. It boomed our business. It's one of the best marketing things we ever did. And amazingly, what happened in the middle of that, not only did our fast track items go up in repair, everything else went up along with it because I couldn't understand that. I actually was talking to a consultant about that. And what he told me was he thought it was like the 1 hour cleaning phenomena. You know, that you used to see that advertised all the time. Well, who really needs their dry cleaning done in 1 hour? But just the idea that somebody can do it in an hour kind of appeals to you. And I think it appealed to our customers as well. Just the idea that we were aggressive enough to say that on these equipments, we could beat anybody's delivery time. And we didn't promise it on everything, but I think they liked the idea of dealing with an aggressive company that was really trying and paying attention to turnaround. You're listening to Driven to Business. We're talking about what to do when your business slows down. More to come. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Let me remind you again, if you're just getting out of your car or driving out of range here, we're streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. And by the way, you can contact me and you can just email me at eddie@eddiemayfield.com or go to eddiemayfield.com and just fill out some of the contact information. And you'll see it there. We're talking about what to do when your business slows down. And we've talked about several things, such as take a look at, number one, don't get yourself in a tailspin over it. All businesses are going to slow down, including yours. But just use it profitably and use it as a time to improve things. But one of the things you need to do, we've talked about this quite a bit, is look hard at your business model. Be sure that everything in your, and it's your market. Be sure that you're in a good market. And if you're not, segue over into one. Take a look at all that. One of the other things you can also do when it slows down is improve your systems a bit. You may have time to do this. I know for many entrepreneurial types or sort of go-getter career types, even if you're running a department inside a company, improving systems and those kinds of logistical things is like pulling teeth out of a lot of people that are kind of business-oriented. And by the way, you shouldn't succumb to the temptation to spend all of your time on messing around with your systems in lieu of chasing business. Be sure and chase business first. But slow times are a great time to get things done that you haven't had time to do in the past. Remember, I said before, often what we find out during slow times is it forces us to do things we should have been doing when things were good, but we either didn't have time or we just weren't reminded of them. It's amazing how all of a sudden, slow and kind of scary times all of a sudden force you to take a harder look at things than you were looking at before. And again, positive things can come from that. You know, one of the things that we did during a slow time at our company that's worked great for us is work on a job tracking system. You know, before we started off back in 1988, so I started off like all of you guys did. We started off using paper to track. So, you know, when a customer brought or we had equipment shipped into us, you know, we filled out a bunch of pieces of paper. They stayed in folders under names. And then, you know, as a guy worked on it, he would get the folder. Well, you know what happens. Of course, the folder gets lost and the customer calls and the folder's either back in shipping or it's on the text bench or somebody's ordering parts and they've got the folder or a salesperson's got the folder or, you know, and you can't even tell the customer what's in the folder because it's like, I'm sorry, I have to call you back. I have to go find it. Well, that's very annoying to customers. And as you begin to get more and more customers, it gets more and more annoying. So we finally sat down and said, we've got to get ourselves a system in place. This is a little side story, but it's also something not to do. I hired an outside programmer to come in and write a program for us. I had never done this before. I did it very poorly. After about $50,000 I spent, and we still did not have a working program. In fact, it was worse than it was before because the thing crashed constantly. And it wasn't just programming costs. It was the new equipment he told me I had to buy and all this stuff. We ended up with a lady in our New York office actually sat down with a database up there and just came up with something over a weekend for us. I hired a guy to put a Visual Basic front end on it, and that's still what we use to this day. And it's a very, very, very effective tracking system. So when you call us, we can tell you anything about your equipment, and not only that, it stores a bunch of customer information for us. Whether if we've repaired this for you before, we will know it when we pull you up. But again, there's a time to do that. It's when you get slow. You might not have time to do something like that when you're very busy. So that's a great thing to do. Let me tell you another thing. Look at your marketing. And that's easier said than done. Different things seem to work for different businesses. So here's a few ideas for you. Trade shows. I've really blown hot and cold through the years about trade shows. Now, you may be in a business that's really a big deal in, and there do seem to be businesses that do very, very, very well in this. It's not that we've had all negative experiences in it. We've done pretty well. But overall, it hasn't worked all that well for us. But again, I know people for whom it's just been incredible. If you want to get involved with that, find out what trade shows are pertinent to your business and check them out. And keep in mind, don't make this mistake. Look through a trade list vendor and you see nobody in your particular little niche of business there. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go. In fact, it may mean you should go. If what you want to know is who's coming to these trade shows. If the people are coming to them that you want to talk to, well, it's a great way to get in front of them. So do that. Find out about that advertising. I'm sure you can call Biz 1190, the sales department here, and they'll come by and sell you all the ads you want are here on the Salem network, you know, where you can buy Where the Fish or Face 970 or Talk 920 or any other stations in this area. They'll be very happy to sell you advertising, and it may be that's a great idea for you. There's never been so many advertising venues available as there are today, so the question always comes down to which one are you going to use? And in the first place, let me just tell you, as a person who spent and wasted, really, in years past, a lot of money in advertising, anybody tells you, all advertising is a bit of a gamble. It just is. You approach it intelligently, and you do the best research you can do, but just know that in the end, it will either work or it won't. And you've got to don't attach yourself emotionally to it at all. Look at it very hard. Either works or it doesn't. If it doesn't work, get out of it. Here's one rule you should absolutely know if you're going to advertise. And that whether it's in radio or print media or internet or billboards or mailing or really anything you want to say as an advertising venue, if you can only do it once, keep your money. You get nothing from that. Advertising only works from repetitive business. So if you're planning on doing advertising, plan on doing it repetitively. Doing advertising once and saying that doesn't work, you haven't proven anything except that you cannot only advertise. Advertising never works when you do it once. That's not going to happen. Advertising is a repetitive business. You know, the other thing is really available today, though, for any of you on a budget, there is so much free stuff advertising available out there today. I've helped promote several concerts at our church and other places. And, you know, one of the things you can do, just and let's just say if you're doing that, if you're, let's say you have a restaurant of some sort, and you want to get your restaurant's name out there. And keep in mind, you know, there's sort of a saying I always have that marketing is information. Information is marketing. Any information you get out there on yourself is marketing. And it doesn't matter if you are selling you have the best restaurant in town. If nobody knows you're there, you're not going to stay in business. So it's imperative you get your word out. But there are ways to do that that cost literally nothing. You know, like restaurants, for instance, you all know this. Go on there and Google. Just to educate yourself about this, go Google whatever restaurant you're in, Greek food in Snellville. Go Google that and see who comes up. What you're going to see comes up are a lot of review sites like Yelp and people like this. Well, you can go in there and read reviews. How do you get reviews like that? Well, somebody puts them on Yelp. That's how. And so what you can do, and guess what? It's free. So go... you can go to Yelp's website and actually register yourself for free as a restaurant. And not only that, when your customers come in, the customers you have that are in your restaurant who think you're really great, don't just depend that they will go home and go on Yelp. A lot of them won't. If you see some kid sitting there with a smartphone in your restaurant and he's really enjoying the meal, go up to him and ask him if he'll put a review for you on Yelp. He's going to say yes, and he will do it. You keep doing that. Pretty soon, when somebody Googles Greek fruit and wherever you are, Snellville, wherever, you will be up there. That is free advertising, and it's spectacular advertising. It's sort of a modern day word of mouth. Those things work great. So don't disdain free advertising. But like everything else in marketing, it requires energy. It's not passive. You have to work on it to get it going there. Here's a word about internet advertising. Our company, EMA, you can go to our site at emainc.net and take a look at it. It's not the greatest site in the world, but you know what? We write a lot of business indirectly off of our site. I also have some web store sites, but the primary web generator for us is our site, emainc.net. And I'll tell you, almost anybody in the electronic motor drive business knows about us because of our website. So here's a little clue for you. If you want to get noticed by the search engines, think about search engines for a minute. Well, number one, think what the web would be without them. Think how horrible it would be if you had to yourself, if only you knew that, you know, you had to remember the exact name of a website that you wanted some information from, and you had to remember to go type in, is it soandso.org or .com or .info or what is it, and you had to know all that yourself. Well, it would make the web very... user unfriendly. But think of what, from Google's standpoint, what Google wants to happen when you come to their site and search for something. What they want to happen is they want you to keep coming back to their site for a variety of reasons. If they make money through these things, what they want to happen, to make that happen, they want you to have a great experience. Meaning if you are on there searching for whatever, they want you to find that whatever and not something you weren't looking for. So they try to really write their algorithms and all to do that. Here's a little hint. If you want to get Google to like you, write blogs. Write technical information blogs about your site. If you kind of want to know how to do that, again, go to my site, emainc.net. Look at our blogs. You know, you can't just sit there. If you're looking for donuts, you can't just go there and write the word donut 88 times and expect Google to find you for donuts. In fact, you'll be penalized if you do things like that. But if you go in there and write a really nice blog about how to make donuts, different kinds of donuts, here's how you make them, here's how you keep them fresh, here's how you do this, whatever you want to come up with. And you mention whatever it is, you sit down and think what the search word is, the phrase is you're looking for. If you mention that phrase a lot of times, and by the way, you need to write about a 400-page blog to make this work well, and mention it a bunch of times in context, well done. So not only, and don't just write for Google, write for the person reading it too, because you know once you get them to your blog, you're going to want to make them a customer and not just, Google's not your customer probably. So, although they will find you, do that. You can also do pay-per-click. There are a lot of other things to do on the internet, but if any business, big or small, you know, the internet's a big equalizer these days. It's a big equalizer. You can compete directly with the biggest company in the world. You know, our little company, EMA, we regularly compete and take jobs away from these multinational corporations, and a large part of that is the internet. They would never find us otherwise. I cannot be in the trade shows these guys can be in. I can't be in the magazines they're in. I don't have 300 people in a marketing department like they do. But you know what? The little website, I can pop up there in the, ahead of them on searches by being careful what I do on the internet, and so can you. So don't disdain the internet. We'll talk more about this in the final segment here today. Hope you're enjoying this. We're talking about what to do if your business is slow. It's going to happen to you. I'm Eddie Mayfield. This is Driven to Business. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the final segment of today's Driven to Business. As I always like to remind people, we're streaming live on biz1190.com. And even more to the point, our blog, we have podcasts of today's program on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. And you can contact me by either going to our website or contact me through biz1190, Atlanta's business radio here. In the last segment, I was talking a little bit about internet marketing. Let me also talk about another type of marketing you can do. And I was sort of joking about the sales department here at Biz 1190 and here at Salem Broadcasting. You actually, that may well work for you. Radio, TV, things like that, they are expensive. But they also are some of the most effective advertising you can do if your audience is there. It's to be sure to figure out, and probably you're a better expert on this than anyone else is, who are the people in your, what are your customers' demographic? What are they made up as? And what does that, where does that demographic hang out on the radio? Are they talk radio people? Well, then perhaps you should consider advertising on there. And again, if you're going to do that, you probably need to do it for at least a month. It's going to cost you some money. Do it for a month and see if it works. If you get nothing for it, well, then okay. That's money that, as I said earlier, advertising is a bit of a gamble. If you get nothing for it, you'll know that doesn't work. But you may be surprised. I talk to people all the time who try things like that and are just astonished what they get back for advertising. Let me tell you one of the other things about being sure, the way to get out of a slump. And this may sound like it's so intuitive that everybody does it, but it actually, I find in slow, when things get slow, this may be something that slips. Do a great job. You know, when you're slow, it means you're not as busy as you were, which means you have more time to spend with a customer than you had before. You can give him better service, him or her, better service. So do it. Do not let your business quality suffer because it's slow. That's a downward spiral. You have to stay out of it. And back to that being depressed. Being depressed and downhearted is what drives you because you not only, and I'm only saying this because I've seen people do it. The business slows down. The owner or manager of it gets despondent. And that begins to bleed over into what the face he puts in front of customers and everything else. You can't do that. You absolutely have got to do a good job. You know, there is no better advertising than word of mouth. Nothing. Nothing works like word of mouth. So when you're slow, you can make hay about it. I can remember a radio station years ago in Birmingham that ran into some real hard times. And so and their advertisers kind of bailed on a bunch of them. And you know what? And instead of falling into the crack, you know what they did? This was a top 40 station years ago. It was AM stations. But they began advertising, we're the station with the least commercials. And they actually increased their listenership by advertising that. Well, of course, then they got more commercials. But nonetheless, that's sort of making lemonade out of lemons. Figure out the most positive thing you can say. Hey, we're kind of slow right now, and so if you've got work to do. You know, we've actually done this with customers. We've actually called people up and say, hey, we're having a slow month right now. If this is a month you think about doing preventive maintenance on your equipment, this is a great time to do it because we really have some time to do that right now. You'd be surprised how much business you'll get just saying that. Number one, you're contacting a customer. That's never wrong. And number two, you're just being real straight with them. So that's part of relationship building, the idea that you're very straight. Do a good job. Get good word of mouth going with it. Let me also remind you that slow times are inevitable. If you are in a business right now and you're not slow, you're going to be at some time. So here's the advice. Prepare for it. Don't spend all the money you make. And that applies to individuals as well. It always kind of surprises me. Somebody's got a good job, they're making good money, and they spend every nickel of that so that when something happens to their career, either something happens to the job, or they have a health issue, or something pops up, or something changes in their life where all of a sudden they're dead broke within 3 days because they've saved nothing. Don't do that. And they've been making good money all these years. Don't do that. Put some away and be prepared. And finally, this, face reality. Again, if you're in the slide rule business, in a calculator world, don't keep investing in better slide rules. I mean, face reality. And a lot of us might need some outside help with that because we just are so emotionally tied to the equipment we have that we can't think of anything else to do. And in keeping some perspective about yourself. You know, I love business. I love the business of business. I'm so thankful for the entrepreneurs out in Texas years ago that taught me how to do that and let me help run a business and learn that I like the business of business. I do like it, it's consuming and it's very rewarding. But, you know, there's a lot more to life than business. And sometimes when business takes a bit of a dive on you is when you're going to suddenly turn around and find out businesses can be a pretty difficult taskmaster. And there is more to that. If you've got family and friends and church and so forth to fall back on during those hard times, you're going to be a lot better off than somebody that does not. Somebody to encourage you to kind of put their arm around you and console you a bit when you're feeling kind of down about your business. That becomes very, very, very important. So keep time. So let's review a little bit what we went over here today. First of all, every business gets slow. So don't panic about that. Look hard at your business model. Look very hard at your business model. I can't emphasize this enough. If your business is slowed down, you really have got to decide very quickly, is this a systemic thing, a systemic trend that I need to like change my model, or is this just a blip? If it's just a blip, then don't worry about it. Just spend it's still a good idea to tune your business model. Take a look at what your business is coming from, where you're making money, which customers you're making money from, which products make you money or services and which don't. Find that out. The second thing is a bit of a marketing. Follow up on your past customers. You know, it costs, I forget the figures, people, depending on who you read, but it costs a lot more to find a new customer than it does to reactivate an old customer. It just does. And not only that, if you, again, do the matrix I talked about where you put your products and you figure this customer, this segment of customer, this type of business doesn't just use field service, they also buy equipment. Well, then go and sell them, talk to them, make sure they know the other things that you do. Believe me, this is a very frustrating thing for me. Do not assume your customers know all the business you're in. They absolutely don't. Fight the tendency to become despondent. Emotions play a huge role in how we act. Work yourself out of a slump. Do not allow yourself to be depressed and allow that to affect your business. If you're slow and it's just a blip, this is a great time to improve your systems. Spend time cleaning up your systems. Get some inefficiencies out. If this is time to perhaps change software, this may be a good time to do it when you're a little bit slower. Look at your marketing. If you're not doing marketing if you're not doing anything, I hope at least you've got good word of mouth going. There are a lot of that you can. I had mentioned trade shows, advertising, the internet. Again, there are some free things even on the internet and so forth you can do to push your business ahead. And finally, I think most importantly, do a great job with the customers you've got. You know, I used to play in a band, and sometimes you have a big crowd you're playing for, and sometimes you get there, and there's just almost nobody there. And the tendency is to just get yourself all unhappy because nobody's there. But we would kind of, before we came out, we'd talk to ourselves and say, look, these people that are here, these few people that are here, came here to hear a good band play. So we're going to give them the best we can do. If there's just a few of them, we're going to do it like it was a crowd of thousands here and do the best job we can do. That's a great attitude to have with your customers. You know, the few customers you've got there, look, they're very important to you. Treat them great. Ask them for referrals. Do all those kinds of things. And work your way out of a slump. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. You know, when I'm talking to you about businesses facing slumps and being depressed, I'm talking to you out of my own experience because I've done that. I'd like to think that I've grown out of that by now, although I'm not always sure about that. and we've been really blessed in our business that we've been on a pretty strong growth spurt for some time now. But it came out of what was a slow time. You can do the same thing. I'm Eddie Mayfield. You've been listening to Driven to Business. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock right here on Atlanta's Business Radio, Biz 1190. We'll see you next week.